Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 4 in the book of Acts. Verses 32 through 35, Acts chapter 4. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made, each as any had need. Gospel reading this morning will come from John's Gospel, and we will be reading from the 19th verse through verse 31. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ Jesus, my rock and my redeemer, we pray. Amen. Last week we read in Mark's gospel where the angel at the empty tomb tells the women to go tell Jesus' disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see him. They will see the risen Lord. But the text told us that the women left and said nothing to no one because they were afraid. And we noted that most scholars believe that this is where Mark's gospel actually ends, with no post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Only a command to all of us that if we want to see the resurrected Lord, then we have to go to Galilee. But this morning we read from the Gospel of John that Jesus appears to his disciples not once but two times. In fact, in John's Gospel, Jesus appears at least four times to his disciples. First time he appears to Mary Magdalene. She sees the risen Lord in the garden on that first Easter, and she believes he's the gardener. She doesn't recognize him, but then he calls her name, Mary, and she immediately recognizes him. Rabboni, she cries, and she recognizes the resurrected Lord. And Mary runs and she tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." But if they have heard her, they don't really believe her because they are terrified. They are locked behind closed doors, afraid. Afraid of the Roman authorities, afraid of the Jews, afraid of the crowds, afraid that they might be arrested and crucified, and so they are behind locked doors. But it's in the midst of that fear that the resurrected Lord comes to them. And he says, "Peace be with you," and blows the Holy Spirit upon them. And he empowers them to be a whole new community, to live as a whole new community, as a forgiving community and a loving community. And so they too experience and see the resurrected Lord. But not everyone was with them on that day. Thomas was not with them. He was away. And so they go and they tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen him." But Thomas does not believe them. He refuses to believe. "Unless I'm able to see for myself," says Thomas, "unless I'm able to put my hands in the scars of his hands, unless I'm able to put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And it's important to understand that Thomas is not being stubborn here. He's not being obstinate. He's not being mean-spirited. He's not saying, "I refuse to believe," or "I don't want to believe." Thomas probably does want to believe. Thomas probably longs to believe in the power of life over the power of death. But Thomas knows the kind of world in which we live. Thomas knows that we live in a world that has death and the fear of death at the center of it. Thomas knows that we live in a world where dead people just don't get up and walk again. And so Thomas refuses to believe. He has come down to us, of course, as doubting Thomas, because he does not readily believe what the rest of the disciples are saying to him. But we need to remember that the name Thomas means twin. That is who Thomas is. He is our twin. He is like us. He expresses the doubt that we too have at the very center of our hearts. We too, like Thomas, want to believe. We want to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. We want to believe in the power of life over death. We want to believe in love and compassion and mercy. We want to believe those things. But we know the way that the world really is. We know the kind of world that we live in. We know that we live in a world that is filled with violence and hatred and strife, where the strong dominate the weak. We know we live in a world that is filled with indifference and greed, where if you're poor and on the margins, you're often looked at with disdain. We know we live in a world that if you are barely making a living wage, with people will tell you, well, that's just tough. That's just the way the world is. That's the way the market works. We live in a world that if you're poor and can't afford health insurance, well, we just say that's tough. It's the kind of world in which we live. Thomas knows that kind of world, and we know it too. I was reading something the other day, and it said that the top 20% of Americans own 84% of the wealth of our nation. If you draw a pie chart, what that would mean is only a small little slice is what's not owned by the top 20% of people in our nation. And worse yet, we are told that only 0.03% belongs of the wealth of our nation belongs to the bottom 40%. The bottom 40% of our nation owns only 0.03% of the wealth of our nation, not even a half of percent. And the remaining middle 40% of our nation owns 14.7% of the wealth of our nation. That's the kind of world in which we live. Thomas knows that kind of world. And so when the disciple says, Thomas, we have seen the Lord, Thomas says, I do not believe it. I will not believe it because I know what kind of world we live in. I know what kind of world this is. This is the world where if you're poor, you look down with disdain. This is a world that is filled with violence. This is a world that is filled with neglect. So I will not believe it unless I'm able to see it for myself. Unless I'm able to put my hands in the hands of the Lord and put my hands in his side, I will not believe it. Thomas is our twin. Thomas is our brother. But it's in the midst of this kind of world that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Thomas. Jesus comes to Thomas and he says, feel my side, Thomas, feel my hands, it is me. Believe, Thomas, believe the good news, believe that I have risen from the dead. Peace be with you, Thomas, my brother, believe. Believe in me. Of course, Thomas recognizes the Lord and he says, my Lord and my God. But then Jesus says to Thomas what was intended for all of us. Blessed are those who do not see and yet will believe. He is speaking to each and every one of us. We, of course, are not able to place our hands in the side of Jesus. We are not able to feel the wounds and the scars in Jesus' hands. We are not able to see the resurrected Jesus in the flesh. If we are going to see Jesus today, if people are going to see Jesus, they will have to see the resurrected Jesus through all of us, through God's people, through the church, through you and through me. If people are going to believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, the only way they'll be able to see it is when they see the signs of it in all of us. That's what we're told in the book of Acts. The same followers of Jesus who were hunkered down, living in fear only a few days earlier, are now out in the open, and they are boldly proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, boldly proclaiming that Jesus, who was crucified and tortured and died on Good Friday, is now the Lord of the whole world. He has been resurrected, and he is Lord. That is what they proclaim. But if they just proclaimed that with their mouths, no one probably would have believed them. It wasn't that they just proclaimed it with their mouths, but it's that they lived it out. They lived it in the midst of their community. We are told that they were all one. They were all united. That no one said that anything that they had was their own, but they shared everything and had everything in common. And that there wasn't a needy person among them. Everyone's needs was taken care of, and great grace was given to them, and the power of the resurrection, with great power, the apostles witnessed, testified to the resurrection. And we are told earlier that the Lord added to their number daily. And we too are called to live out that witness in the midst of our world. We too are called to be that community where people see in us the marks of Easter, the marks of the resurrection. Unfortunately, Easter has often been tamed and domesticated. And I hate to say it, because we pastors are sometimes responsible for it, but we've often tamed and domesticated Easter. We've done it because we don't want Easter to disrupt and to interfere with the way that we live our lives. So many people believe that the good news of Easter is that Jesus is risen. He is risen from the dead, and what that means is that if I believe it, then I get to go to heaven. That's what we think about when we think about Easter. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. It's right, but it's just not the whole truth about Easter. Easter is much, much more than that. That's a very narrow and truncated understanding of Easter. The good news of Easter is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, it means that we no longer have to be afraid. It means that we can go out into the world and live as Easter people right now in the midst of this world. It means we no longer have to be afraid to love one another. We no longer have to be afraid to open ourselves out to one another. We no longer have to be afraid to share with one another. We no longer have to be afraid of helping one another, of reaching out to the poor and to the broken. We no longer have to be afraid, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and because our lives are in his hands. The good news of Easter is not about the good news of some other world, about the afterworld. The good news of Easter is always about this world. It's about the redeeming, the reclaiming, the transforming of this world. That's the good news of Easter. That's the good news that turned the world upside down in that post-Easter climate. that the disciples went out and proclaimed in. That's the good news that we too are called to proclaim in the midst of our broken world. We said on Palm Sunday that as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that it was the clash of the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God, God's kingdom of love and life, and the kingdoms of the world. The kingdom of domination and greed and violence. And by Good Friday, it looked as if the kingdoms of the world had won. It looked like the kingdom of God, the kingdom embodied in Jesus, that kingdom of love, that kingdom of sacrifice, that kingdom of peace, that kingdom of justice. It looked as if that kingdom had been defeated. And some people continue to believe that. I hear it all the time. You don't understand the kind of world that we live in. We can't do that. Don't you understand the kind of world that we live in? We can't reach out and help people. We can't do that. We can't do that. If you do that, then all kinds of bad things will happen. We can't love one another. We can't do that. Don't you know what will happen if we try to go around loving others, loving our enemies? We can't do that. That's not the way the world is. But Easter reminds us that the Jesus who was raised from the dead is the Jesus who showed us how to live. He is the Jesus who taught us to love one another, the Jesus who taught us to welcome the stranger, the Jesus who taught us to open our hearts, the Jesus who taught us to feed the hungry, the Jesus who taught us to champion the least of these. It was that Jesus who God raised from the dead. I admit that occasionally, every once in a while, I'm tempted to feel a little bit like Thomas. Occasionally, when I turn on the news and I read the news or hear the news and listen to the news, I'm tempted to feel a little bit like Thomas. I want to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. I want to believe in the power of life over the power of death. I want to believe that. I want to believe that God has defeated the forces and powers of death. I want to believe that. But then I turn on the radio or the television and I see and hear of wars and rumors of wars. I hear of strife and hatred. I see people being at each other's throats. I see the poor being neglected. I see people and children crying out in agony. And I start saying to myself, if only I can see. If only I can put my hands in the hands of Jesus and place my hand on his side. But then I see other things. I begin to see the way the community of faith comes together. I begin to see amongst all of you the way we comfort one another, the way those who are in need receive help and support. I begin to see how the lonely are comforted, how we love each other and take care of each other. I begin to see all of that. And once again, I am reminded that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And not only is he risen from the dead, but he calls us to become alive as well. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But the only way that people in our world will see that is if it is lived out through all of us. If it's lived out in what we do. I give God thanks this morning that people come here and can come here and see that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive and well. And I pray that in everything that we do, we continue with great power to bear witness to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we bear witness to it as we minister to children who come in through our doors, some children never even hearing of the gospel. That we bear witness to it when people come in to avail themselves of our food cupboard. That we bear witness to it when we prepare Sunday school materials for children in our community. That we bear witness to it Sunday after Sunday when we come in this place and we proclaim in both word and deed that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. May we live that, believe that, and proclaim that to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for reminding us of all that you are. We give you thanks for your loving presence in the midst of our lives. We give you thanks too for helping us to understand that in the way we live our lives together, that we are bearing witness to you. In a world that tells us that we don't understand, that we don't understand the way the real world works, you give us the power to proclaim the good news that is at the very center and heart of this season, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And because he has been raised from the dead, all things are possible. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.